Marry me, and welcome to the Witchy Spellcast. This is Kara and Saya here to add a little bit more magic into your everyday life. Remember, if you like this podcast, subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Maybe even give us a 5-star review, or drop a comment to let others know what you like about the podcast. Let's make some magic. Welcome back to this week of the Witchy Spellcast. We're going to be talking about emotional and mental self-care to continue on with our water element series and self-care series.
And I, again, highly appropriate because emotions are pretty prominent in water signs. As the fiance to a Scorpio, emotional self-care is really important. It's really just kind of important to understand, like, as silly as that sounds coming out of my mouth, it's really important to understand your emotions that you're going through and to react and care for yourself in the appropriate way.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to back down from whatever it is you're feeling. Don't suppress.
You definitely don't want to suppress, like, your emotions.
Right. So a good thing to do a good thing I like to do is scream, because got those issues built way up, and screaming when I'm overwhelmed really helps. Like, it sounds dumb, but that is what I do for some of my emotional self-care. It may sound, you know, silly, but there's all sorts of things you can do, especially
totally
when it comes to
one.
Things... Right? So, like,
if
you're, like, trying
to...
That I think a lot of people are dealing with or going through in 2020 and 2021 is dealing with all of the emotions that came with quarantine. So, if you lived alone, I'm 100% sure that you had a depressive moment where you were 100% alone. You didn't have a job to go to. You couldn't go to the grocery store. Maybe you felt like you couldn't even go outside. And dealing with these rising emotions and, you know, potentially negative, or what we would perceive as negative emotions, is important in any kind of journey. It doesn't have to be a spiritual journey. But learning how to not only deal with these emotions, but also what works best for you is quintessential in just existing as a person. So, prime example, I've had a lot of toxic people in my life. My ex-boyfriend, for example, is very abusive physically, emotionally. He was very manipulative. You know, he made me do a lot of horrible things. And cutting that person out of my life is self-care. Cutting the people that I was friends with, who were also friends with him, out of my life as well. That is self-care, emotional self-care. Why? Because I now no longer see that person anywhere in my life. Unless I want to, because sometimes I'd be creeping. But I no longer see that person anywhere in my life. And those feelings of self-hate and shame and guilt and all of those emotions don't come up anymore. And if they do, they're a lot less because I'm not exposing myself and my heart and my brain to all of those associated things that he did. I feel like that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I got a little deep.
Well, cutting off toxic, like, when you're talking about self-care for your mental and emotional state, cutting toxicity out of your life is a good thing. And it's not just cutting toxic people out of your life that helps with that. It's also cutting any kind of toxic thing that's happening in your life. So if there's work is toxic, looking for a new job and finding a non-toxic work environment, that's definitely mental and emotional self-care. It's just taking maybe you can't cut the toxic person out of your life because they're family and you, like, live with them or something like that. Just getting away from them for a while could be mental and emotional self-care as well.
Find yourself an escape place.
Yeah for sure. Mm-hmm.
Even taking, so if you do live with other people, the example I gave was, you know, for people who went through quarantine alone, but if you live with a lot of other people or you have maybe a big family, having maybe an hour alone just to be with yourself is a really good self-care exercise because it allows you to just exist and to sound very Southern, to be in your feelings about it, to just be in your emotions. And
yeah, and while humans are very social creatures in general, we also need time for ourselves. We need alone time. And yeah, when you live with other people, sometimes that's really difficult. When you have a family that you are always around, like that's kind of difficult. Like, especially if, you know, you're always around your spouse or your children, like that, it's difficult to get some alone time. So you kind of like have to schedule it and like discuss like, okay, I need this much time every day just to myself, because otherwise I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah.
And it's okay to do that. Like, absolutely okay to do that.
Absolutely. My alone time,
unfortunately, sometimes it's like weird when you can get that time. My alone time is 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. Like, that's my alone time.
I am fully unconscious.
Same. I mean, take
my alone time is, yeah, for real. Like, my alone time is kind of sporadic, but it's now, since I have a new job, my fiance has started working out at the gym that's at his job, and I've started working out at the gym that's closer to my job. So I am going to the gym alone for my quote-unquote alone time, but it's also to, like, work out all of the frustrations of the day and just to kind of get, like, any kind of, you know, any, like, negative, bad, grungy vibes off of me from the day via sweat, which is another method of my own self-care, which, I mean, it's a little bit of physical, but it's actually more emotional than I let on.
Yeah, there's tons of different ways that you can practice a mental or emotional self-care. And yes, cutting toxic mm-hmm. people and toxic things from your life is definitely a big one. But more practical things that, like, you might already be doing is having a planning routine or organization routine to help you organize and be prepared for your day. Will help with your mental and emotional self-care because it helps with your stress levels. You write a to-do list in the morning, you're helping future you, which will in turn help your stress levels, which will in turn give you a little bit more mental and emotional stability and self-care.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big list maker, just because without a list of things to do, I don't do anything because I have executive dysfunction. So I don't know what is priority unless I make that list in the morning. And yeah, like, it's really helped. It's really quite helpful.
Yeah. And another big thing, and I've been guilty of doing this, is procrastination is a really negative habit to get into that can really hurt your mental and emotional self-care, because you're basically saying that you're going to feel better, and you're disrespecting your future self by procrastinating. It's just that in a nutshell. You are disrespecting yourself because you're saying, well, I don't have to deal with it, but they can. And like you're going to feel better later. You're not. You're just going to do it because you're stressed out. But if you would just do it when you need to, when you think about it, or when it's assigned, you're less likely to get stressed out about it.
When you procrastinate, when you procrastinate, you're like pre-stressing out your future self.
Yeah, you really are. Yeah.
You're like, you know what? That's future me problems, not current me problems, which is not a good way to think about yourself.
No, it isn't. And then like, let's think back of in college. And I know Rowan and I are currently in and everything. But let's think back at, like, undergrad. I would sculpture class was always like my worst one. I would put off my assignments for sculpture mostly because I didn't like the professor. And that's terrible. That's a shitty way to look at it, you know, because I'm paying for that class. But like, I would lay in bed having a panic attack about this assignment daily. And if I were to have just done it right off the bat, got it done out of the way, I wouldn't have had a week or two worth of panic attacks every night.
Right. And I get that.
Yeah. So we're like, when you procrastinate, you're literally just extending the stress and making things worse on yourself. Yeah. Yes, you don't have
you're
to do
the thing. You're just
prolonging
the pain. You just got to take that Band-Aid off. Like,
yeah. And I'm really bad about that with, like, paying my bills, like medical bills and stuff. I keep most of my bills as auto deduct, but medical bills, they come in whenever they come in, and they'll sit on my desk. Mm-hmm. And I'll look at them like, I need to do that, but I just can't do it. Like, mentally, I just can't get myself to do it. And then it'll build up, and then I get a collections letter, and I'm like, fuck, I have to do it now. You know? And that's not healthy. One, it's not financially healthy, and it's also not, like, good on my mental health in general. Because if I would have just went ahead, wrote out the check, and put it out in the mailbox the day I got it, I wouldn't have to have look at it every single day going, God, I gotta do that.
Yeah, I get you. I feel that. I did that with about $56,000 worth of medical bills in 2012. Well, I had a blood clot in 2012, as you guys know, and I didn't have any health insurance, but I had to go to the hospital to save my life. If I hadn't treated it, I would be dead. I didn't have any insurance, and I ended up severely in debt, and I had so much anxiety built up about this huge number that my credit score plummeted. Like, I'm talking, this went on for years until the point where the collections agency just stopped contacting me and they chalked it up as a loss. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but I am also saying that I'm no longer in debt to them. However,
that does happen. I mean, like, eventually they will give up, but don't do that.
Yeah. Don't do it, because the road to them giving up is hard and annoying, and it's hard to recover from. Another thing, emotional self-care thing that you can do is look into, if you're working in a polytheistic religious pantheon, whatever you want to call it, like I do, finding a deity that is very self-care adjacent. So for me, I work with the Greek pantheon. Working with Aphrodite would really help me a lot, to be frank, because I don't have, I've said this a couple of times, like, I don't have a lot of, like, self-confidence or self-worth. I have a lot of bad self-talk. And so for my spiritual and emotional self, for me to care more about that, working with a deity that is associated with those things, love and happiness and femininity and things like that, would really help. So if that is something that you're interested in doing, by all means, if you feel that calling, go do that, because that is 100% self-care as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or honestly, answer whoever is calling, deity-wise.
Like, something that I actually had learned doing in my therapy that I was going to, it's really a form of meditation, but it's when you're feeling those overwhelmed emotions, taking a moment to sit there and ask yourself, where in my body am I feeling this? So if you're feeling that stress in your shoulders, focus in on that, and then think about actually relaxing those muscles. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that those emotions go down then. Those negative feelings loosen.
That's interesting. I think there's a meditative video that talks about that I've seen.
I've never really realized that, because when I have all of those, like, bad thoughts or whatever, because, like, Like, my self-talk is bad, but I also have, like, hella intrusive thoughts. So, like, figuring out how to relax my brain, if I could do that, that I think I would solve everything. Because the brain is just a muscle, right? If I could just relax that muscle, we'd be fine. But, you know...
It almost ends up feeling like a dissociative moment because you take a step outside of yourself and then like sort of look back and go, so where is that coming from?
Oh, I don't like that. That makes me, I'm uncomfortable with that. That's not for me then. it's not for me, but that's good if it works for you. That's a whole nother thing. Like what is the catchphrase here on the Spellcast? Do what feels right.
You do you, boo.
If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. Exactly. If it doesn't feel right for you, don't do it.
Yep.
I think exactly. That's the takeaway from every episode.
Pretty much.
But like, okay. So I've been really like withdrawn socially since I've moved here because finding friends as a grown fucking person with, you know, not mainstream ideas and religious beliefs is a bit hard. So I've been kind of like a recluse for like the last 3 years. And so last night I was telling Kara this. I went out and with some girls who are also pagan and they're local. And we, you know, had some drinks at a bar and it was someone's birthday. And like we just got talking about like deities and the Norse pantheon and the Greek pantheon. And it was just so exciting. And, like, finally, you know, like, I love you gals, but you're so far away. And I needed, like, this face-to-face human interaction that was about this. Because while I also love my fiancé and my sister-in-law, I cannot talk to them about this stuff. Could you imagine me trying to tell my doctor sister-in-law that Loki came to me in a dream and now I have questions about what elephant trunks mean in dreams? Like, could you... I mean, that's an example, but... Clearly it would mean a penis. Clearly it's a penis. But
clearly.
That's not the point. The point is, why did Loki run with me nude through a hotel while I was trying to devote myself to Hera? We don't know. But I couldn't ask, I can't ask them those questions. And for me, going and like making other pagan friends, which I've never done, was so cool and just really refreshing, and it was good for my spirit, and it was good for my brain, because I'm just in my brain constantly and I hate it. So like dude, it was seeing going out like that, just taking a risk, was self-care. That was self-care for me.
Yeah,
like.
And
some people are the exact opposite.
Some people are. But the elephant trunks and dream meaning is actually a symbol of success and gains and wisdom.
Okay, so I didn't really have a dream about elephant trunks. It was an example, but cool.
I mean, what is it next week?
And if you want to look up waffles. Meaning, so.
Waffles?
Yeah, that's true. Waffles and coffee, because the last Loki dream I had, we were in a diner. Oh, no, that was the dream before the hotel dream. I need to start making a journal of the Loki dreams because there's so many.
Speaking of journaling, one way to practice mental and emotional self-care is to keep a journal and track certain things. Like, you could track your gratitude in it, which we've talked about and discussed, like, the benefits of that. Mm-hmm. You can keep track of your moods and your shifts, especially when you are doing any kind of therapies and medications for your mental health in general. Keeping a journal to keep track of how your day is going and how the medication's working is good for yourself. It's also good for the doctor. Any kind of like tracking that you're doing to make sure that you know what's going on with your mental health and that you can also tell a doctor about if you are working with a doctor. That's definitely a form of mental self-care. 100%.
Absolutely. So I was actually listening. Go ahead, Rowan. I'm sorry.
I was just affirming.
Oh, okay. So I was listening to this podcast it's Armchair Expert, and I think it's Dax Shepard who runs it, but he was interviewing Matthew McConaughey, who just came out with a book. And Matthew McConaughey is huge into journaling. I don't know if you know this, but who would have thought? Matthew McConaughey, said that when he journals, he writes down, like, he only journals when he's happy. Because he wants to know the recipe, what he's doing right in that moment that's making him so happy, so that he can go back and do it again. Or if he's having a bad day, he can go back through his journal and see, I'll just follow this recipe. And then my brain will make the happy stuff.
On the one hand, I see
I heard him say that, and I was like, that's fucking genius, because all I would do if I journaled would journal my negative self-talk, and then I would reread it, and I would never get out of my funk.
Yeah, like, on the one hand, yeah, like, just writing whenever you're happy, that's great, but if you're journaling in itself is a way for you to get out of your own head. It's a way to get the thoughts out of your head so you don't have to hear them anymore. So if you're only journaling when you're happy, you're just getting the happy thoughts out of your head. You're not getting the negative thoughts out of your head. So I could see having two different journals, having a happy journal and a negative self-talk journal, and just never open up the negative self-talk unless you're writing in it. But I feel like not writing down your bad days too is leading to a very one-sided healing.
Well, it could lead to toxic positivity, which
that too.
I mean, that's a controversial quote unquote topic, but like, I fully believe in toxic positivity. Like, it's just like the saying, it can't rain all the time. The sun can't be out all the time. It has to rain sometimes. So anyway, it's self-care is learning to understand, embrace, and move on with all emotions. Good, bad, ugly, all of it. And the things that you use or the things that you do to embrace and then move on from those emotions is entirely up to you. As long as you're not hurting yourself or others, I will encourage it.
Just the basic of most pagan beliefs. You do you,
I know.
Do, don't hurt people.
Do the thing that makes the happy stuff. Don't hurt anybody. You're good. Like, do it a
I'd
couple
say,
of times.
If we want to add some magical spins on like this mental and emotional self-care, one big way to help with your mental health and your emotional health and take care of yourself in that way is to have positive affirmations and mantras.
Mm-hmm,
and you can make a whole spell out of that. Or, I mean, an affirmation and a mantra in of itself is a ritual. It is a spell. And you don't have to go pull out with, I'm going to spray this scent with it and everything. You could just, like, just go, I'm a fucking badass today. And that'd be it.
Yeah. I sent you guys in the chat a few, maybe last week, that the affirmation I am. I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am rich, I am that bitch, I am gonna go get this bag, I am not gonna take your shit, I am protected, well-respected, I am a queen, I am a dream, I do what I'm gonna do, and I'm who I'm gonna be. Like, I listen to that song on my way to work every morning. I used to listen to the news, but I need out of my funk because the winter has severely affected me. And so I started listening to this. And on my way to work, I'm also drinking my coffee. So I'm singing along. I'm manifesting this. I'm affirming it. I am this bitch. I am who I'm supposed to be. Like, fuck you if you tell me I'm not.
Yeah, I think...
Like, I have to get myself out of this funk or I am going to die here. Like,
yeah, like little things like that. It definitely, like if a song like has a good meaning that you can like feel empowered, or you feel good about it, or it gives you that emotion that you want, listening to that in the morning or something like that. You can get the same kind of effect, like if you don't want to listen to music on your drive. I listen to books on my drive to and from work, or a podcast, and sometimes like just the right
podcast or the right book will put you in that like state of mind that you want to be in for the day. I like listening to books on my way to work, mostly because it puts me into a very creative mindset, and I need to be in a creative mindset for my job. So like, that's what's important for me.
That definitely makes sense.
Yeah. I had to stop listening to my favorite murder podcast on my way to work because probably shouldn't listen to a podcast about murder on your way to working with annoying children. People. I was not having good days. I really enjoy the podcast. I really do. But I needed to stop listening to it on my way to and from work. Did not put me in a good
self-care.
Mood. Yes.
Self-care.
Like, self-care. There's a time and a place.
Yeah. Like you have to find the right thing that works for you. Like you can listen. I used to listen to a podcast called Mind Love on my way to work. And it's literally just, you know, self-care stuff. Like, the one of the Oracle card sets that I got, I found because of that podcast. It's really all about that.
Nice.
And I used to listen to that on my way to work. And that was good. But it put me into a too calm state for work. And I needed to have a little bit of energy. So, books.
That's, you know what?
That's been what's working for me.
Off topic. I'm sorry. Like, I can tell with you and Rowan that, like, with Rowan, retrograde is affecting communication because you're not as chatty today, but that also could be medication. And, I know, sorry. And Kara, I can tell, you said earlier, that retrograde is really affecting you, but can you hear how chatty I am?
This is your podcast now, girl.
This is the Saya episode where I talk a fuck ton, and, like, none of it makes any coherent sense because it's retrograde, and I am not going to apologize for that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast during retrograde.
Welcome to the retrograde podcast!
Yeah, and the next couple episodes are also going to be, like,
chaotic.
The problem is, though, and I've said this multiple times, Mercury retrograde never affects me. And this time it has, so there's got to be something else going on, too, because Mercury retrograde never affects me. Because my Mercury is in Sagittarius. And it usually just makes me really want to look shit up when it retrogrades. Like, I get really, like, intellectual. It usually doesn't affect my communication or my mood or anything like that. So this is really fucking with me because I don't know what else is happening that could be affecting me.
So that makes sense to me because my Mercury is in Leo. So, like... the chaos, right? It's a bit much.
I'm gonna read my reason. I feel like I need to look this up now.
Yeah, get on Horus.
My Mercury is in Cancer.
Ah, yeah. Isn't Cancer a water sign?
Yes,
Cancer
it is
a water sign. Yep.
And that has to do with communications. Bitch, if I didn't just say that! look at me and my knowledge. Immaculate vibes. I'm sorry. And no, I will not apologize. Sorry. The self-care is me not apologizing for the vibes that I'm feeling during retrograde.
And that's a good one also. Like, so many people apologize for everything that they do because they were conditioned to be like that, and like as mm-hmm. women we're kind of conditioned to be like, well, we have to be sorry if we want to be outspoken or loud or up in any way. If we're not demure little knitting scaredy cats, like, we're terrible and we have to apologize for it. But like, it's a condition of our upbringing, the apologizing for like being happy or being up. And
it's
shitty.
Like being raised in the church, you were, as a female, you were quiet, you were modest, you were obedient, you followed quote unquote the rules, you didn't go outside and get dirty, you like learned to sew and things like that, you know, just the very repressed.
How very 1700s.
How very Amish, not to diss the Amish, but like it was horrible. And then, you know, it really affects you as an adult. And
yeah. Because whenever you go against that, you feel like you need to apologize, even though that's not how society is anymore. Like, you're allowed, women are allowed to have broad
personalities. I can wear fucking pants.
And be excited about things and be loud and be happy and
be like, vice president.
Yeah. And like, it's just the conditioning of, the world to apologize, and trying to get yourself to stop apologizing for being yourself. It's hard, but it's probably going to be the best self-care that you could ever do for yourself is to learn to stop apologizing for who you are.
Yeah. With 2021, my big year-long goal is to work through all of the trauma, right? And figure out who Saya is as a person without that trauma. Mm-hmm. Because until recently, I thought, you know, oh, I'm just a people person. I'm just really good at, like, making friends. Well, I just found out that that's a trauma response that I've been living my whole life, called the fawning response. Mm-hmm. It's basically I take someone's personality and mold it into my own so they like me. Well, who am I without that? I have no idea. So I'm figuring that out, and it's going to be rough for everybody involved, but I'm not going to apologize for it because maybe that's who I am. Like, I'm learning that I have traits of like autism and traits of ADHD and all sorts of different things. And while I'm working on that, I hope that, you know, everybody understands that it's my self-care. I got to be who I am.
Yeah. And unfortunately, some people aren't going to understand that you're trying to become who you're supposed to be. And it might cause some rifts with people. And
I fully expect it to.
Yeah, you have to be prepared for that. If it causes a rift between you and another person, then that means that person maybe doesn't need to be in your life anymore.
Yeah.
If they're upset with you being yourself. And you should never be okay with anybody not being okay with you being yourself, if that makes any sense.
That makes complete sense. Rowan backed me up on this because I know you went through something kind of like this where with your sexuality. I'm not going to ask you to tell that story, but when I told my fiance that, like, when I found out, like, I'm romantically attracted to everybody, but I am only sexually attracted to him, like, and he is working on understanding that, but it was part of me understanding who I am in the gender spectrum and the sexual orientation spectrum of my life. And he's still on board, he's 100% supportive, but man, oh man, was that a long conversation.
That's
a whole nother key, is if you're about to do some like really intense self-care or go through a self-care journey like I am, tell your significant other if you have one, or tell your best friends to be like, hey, listen, this is what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you're either in or in the way, as Ozzy Osbourne said.
And that's the best way to put it, because
you're either in or in the way, but wherever you are, I'm not going to stop.
Yeah. And it's very important if anybody is going through something like that, and you tell your significant other, hey, I'm searching for myself, I'm trying to work on myself, I would like your support. Mm-hmm. And they're not cool with that. And they're like, you don't need to change. You're who you are. And you go, okay, well, I'm still going to do this. And they're like fighting you every step of the way. Fucking get out. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
Straight up.
So
wrong.
Exactly. So it's you both know this very well about me. I have a hard time explaining my brain because the thoughts don't have words. So when I told my significant other, I was like, you know, I think I'm broken because of this sexual thing that we talked about a while ago. You know, we ended up having like a pretty intense argument because my communication wasn't very good, but he also was going through some things that he later told me, like, you know, so be mindful that everybody is going through some stuff and maybe they just didn't tell you, hey, you know, precursor, I'm going to work through all of my trauma while you work on your trauma. It's going to be a disaster. You know what I mean? Like, just be mindful that everybody's got their own battle going on.
Yeah. And, but also be mindful that if it is like part of your journey to take a moment to just be yourself and be by mm-hmm. yourself, that's okay too. And if you are meant to be with that significant other, then it'll happen. But if you guys need, and I'm not saying you personally, Saya, I'm just saying in general.
I know.
I should probably say that. But like, if
you're going 2 days before my 9-year anniversary.
Listen, if you need to get out, I got you.
Yeah, a little too late on that. They're homes. Oh, 900 miles away and 9 years too late.
Well, but I'm saying like, even there are times when it is necessary, if there's something going on that you're trying to work through and your significant other is trying to work through and you can't help each other and that's clashing and it's not working for the both of you, mm-hmm. it is okay to take a step away from each other and absolutely. Work through your shit. Mm-hmm. And then after you work through your shit and they work through their shit, come back together and see where you are. Because if you're meant to be, you're meant to be. But if you guys working on yourselves and becoming who you are affects your relationship, then that relationship isn't strong.
Right. If it affects it in a negative aspect, in a negative way, if it's affecting your relationship in a negative way, you're not growing together and healing together, then absolutely get out of there. Like in the case of my ex, like, home fry had a knife to my throat, was screaming at me and made me, you know, put some stuff up my nose that I didn't know what it was or what was going to happen to me in front of his mother. And I was with him for 11 months. And, you know, not a single red flag looks red when you've got rose-colored glasses on.
Yeah.
So, you know, there were a lot of red flags from, like, day one.
But and as you're right. If you have rose-colored glasses, you're not going to see every red flag, but... And that's why females have other female friends, right?
Exactly. So
your female friends need to be able to tell you those red flags. And you need to not be mad at your female friends when they tell you red flags.
Yeah.
Like that's a big thing. And I think it's difficult as teenagers. I'm thinking back when I was in high school. There was tons of red flags with the guy that I was with before my husband. And my friends were trying to tell me and I don't want to listen to them and everything, but instead of them, you know, standing by my side and trying to help me out, they just dropped me as a friend. They just left me. Yikes. They're just like, well, if you're not going to help yourself, then we're not going to help you either. And we don't want to be around him. So we're not going to be around you. Don't do that. Don't drop your friend because you don't like their significant other. Right. That's shitty. Because
like thinking,
not only are you leaving them in a bad situation, you're leaving them alone in a bad situation. So
right, you're abandoning them. The dude.
Yeah, you're abandoning them. They're going to feel like they have nothing else, right?
Yeah.
And they're never going to see those red flags. So having close, strong connections with your female friends and being able to tell them anything that's happening and listening whenever they give you advice, 100% the best thing that you can do for yourself and the best emotional self-care that you can have is having a strong knit of female friends who are willing to tell you like it is.
If I also may interject, if you're a male listener, please understand that you need to talk to your friends, your it doesn't matter, male, female, whatever, you need to talk about your emotions. If they're eating you up, you need to talk to somebody about them. And that is okay. That is 100% absolutely okay. I have a friend right now who wants a baby more than anything, but their significant other is maybe a little bit on the fence and it's eating them up and they don't have anyone to talk to, or they feel like they don't have anyone to talk to. And I'm just here like, hey man, I'm right here. I know I'm a female, but like, you can talk to me.
Yeah.
You clearly need someone. And I want to really encourage any and all of our male listeners to like, be emotionally vulnerable every now and then. It yes, feels really please. Good. It's good for your health. It's good for your self-care. And if a girl fucking judges you, absolutely, Rowan, does not make you any less of a man. If a girl judges you on being emotionally vulnerable, get her out of your fucking life.
Yeah.
Sorry. Men aren't just...
yeah, everybody's emotionally vulnerable. Like, everybody has emotions. And pretending that you don't have emotions, you know... Who the fuck are you? Like, why are you trying to pretend you don't have an emotion, right? Like, you do.
Yeah.
We know you do. You're human. If you don't, then you're not human. And then exactly. I'm going to probably find your off switch because you're a robot.
Or the fae.
I mean, they could just be an alien.
Or a fairy.
I feel like they still have emotion. Like...
But not the same as human emotion.
Maybe. But they would still... show it in some way. There would be some difference in their neutral, right? This is really what, tough.
So it's like the difference between the droids and Star Wars. No? Maybe. Okay. Never mind.
Maybe.
I'll
Maybe.
Keep that to myself. It's like the difference between R2 and C-3PO. Like C-3PO was pretty sassy, even though he was a robot, and R2 was a little bit more you know, but they were actually both pretty sassy. But...
Oh yeah, I was about to say R2 is pretty sassy too, in his own way.
But you know, like they're robots technically, but
yeah,
they still have that. Anyway, that's a whole podcast somewhere else.
As I said, that was really off topic.
I'm sorry, but self-care. I'm not sorry.
Don't be sorry.
The episode.
If you have any questions, like, I'm sure or, like where I get questions. My drugs, the answer is the sun. Overall, I'm in a relationship with the moon.
Overall, yes. Mental, emotional self-care. It's all about things that are going to make you feel better, less stress, and like just mentally feel good overall. Yeah. Like, just like physical self-care was all about making your body feel good and nourished and happy, mental and emotional self-care is all about nourishing and making your brain happy and your mind happy and your emotions happy. So, like, journaling, affirmations, mantras, meditation.
Working with deities that will encourage those kinds of feelings. Like, working with Hestia, Demeter, Aphrodite, you know, Freya, Frigg, all of those women would be prime deities to work with if you're really needing some emotional self-care and some self-love.
Yeah, as well as making sure that you're organizing yourself and planning for yourself so that you can help your future self out by knowing what you're doing in the morning. Having a self-care routine in the morning is pretty spot on. It's a pretty great way to stay in shape, you know? My morning routine is get up, get in my planner, set up daily prep for the day, wash my face, eat, and then I try to do 25-minute writing sprint for my book. And that's my morning.
Oh, yeah.
That's my me time. That's my self-care. And I also do a digital detox each night, which is a big one. I'd say that emotional and mental self-care, one of the biggest things that you can do for yourself is a digital detox, maybe every day or once a week or once a month or something, like a full digital detox where you don't touch your phone or social media or your computer or anything like that. You just say, fuck it. I'll look at it later. I'll look at it in the morning. If it's super duper important, they'll figure out a way to get a hold of me, but yeah. I'm offline for a few hours. And I started That's doing that.
Definitely a good idea.
Yeah, I started doing that.
I've been wanting to try.
I think I started it back in around Christmas time at 6 p.m., which is off tonight because it's past 6 p.m. right now when we're recording. But usually about 6 p.m., I put my phone in my computer room. I grab a book and I go into my bedroom and I don't touch my phone again until about 6 o'clock in the morning after I do my morning routine.
Nice.
So, and it's really helped me kind of get out of my own head when it comes to social media, because that's toxic as fuck. Social media is toxic as fuck.
Oh yeah, sometimes. That's a whole episode. That's a whole series of episodes, to be quite frank. I could talk for hours on end. Yeah, that's a different podcast.
Yeah.
I could talk for hours on end about the toxicity of each of the platforms because of, you know, what I did for 2 years was working in social media. So I am fully aware of how toxic that place is. But
it is.
Anyway.
Like, instead of, like, going to bed scrolling through Facebook and not, like, feeling good about anything whenever you go to bed, instead, like, putting up your phone and reading for, like, an hour or doing something that's, like, family time or something like that before you go to bed, your sleep is, like, I've noticed a change in my sleep since I stopped doing that. I don't feel the need to grab my phone as often as I used to either. I'll leave my phone laying around the house in random places and completely forget where it's at half the time anymore. For real. Like, I will. Like,
well, I mean, that's
around the baby anyways, so.
Yeah.
It's really
helped. That's good self-care, and it's good care for your baby, so.
Yeah. Yeah, especially because I don't have, like, any lock buttons on my phone other than, like, the code. But he can still emergency dial 911, which he almost did the other day.
Yikes. I've almost done that because I went to put my phone in a bowl to make the audio louder, and it pushed that button on the side, like, 5 times, and I looked over because I heard it ringing, and it was, like, dialing 911. Like, oh, no.
Yeah, and I've been told by many, many parents that they will eventually get a hold of your phone and dial 911. And you just have to be chill about it.
Yeah. Hey, sorry, the baby had the phone.
Yeah, I just don't let him touch my phone. Like, I don't want him to get into that habit of even being near it. And he's only 8 months old, so, like, not letting him have it now is my setup for not letting him have it when he's older either. So I don't want to deal with that. Like, that's a huge anxiety for me, him picking up my phone and dialing 911. Like, I'm like, no, yeah, I'm not dealing with that. I don't like it.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
My husband gives him his phone, but he's got one of those really old phones, so you'd have to actually, like, really try to call things with it.
Oh, like, it doesn't have the shortcut?
The button. It's got the button. I don't think it has, like, it's got the actual, like, button on the phone. His is a 6.
Oh, nice.
So it still has, like, the home button.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Although he broke his screen on his phone the other day, so we haven't been giving him that one, but he'll give him his iPod.
Good, that's glass.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Like, yeah.
Shattered. But we give him the iPod Touch, which is dead, so he can't do anything on it.
Yeah,
but he wants to feel like he wants it. Like, he gets really upset if you try to take it away. Kids are weird.
Kids are weird. On that note, I think it's been kind of a chaotic episode because retrograde, but also the topics, so I'm gonna wrap it up for us.
Yeah.
All right. If you liked this episode of the Witchy Spellcast, go ahead and hit the like button. You can also follow us on social media. That's Facebook and Instagram. We are the Witchy Spellcast on both of those platforms. If you have any questions for us that you may not want publicly out there, you can email us at thewitchyspellcast@gmail.com. You can also DM us on Instagram and on Facebook. And you can join the private coven on Facebook You do have to go through the Witchy Spellcast Facebook page to do that, though. One of the three of us will admit you. Let's see, how else can they get a hold of us? They could follow me at the Witchy Saya on Instagram. They could follow Kara at Kara Darkthorn on Instagram. They could follow Rowan at Rowan Mistrite on Instagram. They could use the hashtag AskTheSpellcasters. They could tag us in their stories. They could do anything on those two platforms, Facebook and Instagram, and we will find it. Just, I mean, don't put us on Twitter because I'm not there. That's for old people. But yeah, hit us up sorry, I'm having a stroke. On Instagram or Facebook, and we'll see you in the next episode. Bye!
My Isa. God, Zaya.
Retrograde!